Rewind. Now we wait at Radio Rewind. Now we wait at Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse. Independent. Yours.
Welcome to Teachings in the Air. Welcome to Teachings in the Air podcast with Jerry Oldman, coming to you from Hunkaminam territory with a podcast series about Indigenous men's health and wellness. We aim to inspire, motivate, and empower Indigenous men to be sound in mind, body, and spirit, because that's what health means.
We don't need your constitution. We don't need your constitution. We don't need your constitution. Hey,
welcome to Teachings in the Air with Jerry Oldman. The podcast I'm doing today is called Indigenous Is, and it's the first in a series that are going to be about Indigenous Is. And I thought about this identity business, I guess you could say, all my life. The song I just finished, to me, was a call to action, a call to being Indigenous. They called it the Constitution Song. It's actually a gambling song, melody. And they're talking about how we don't need your Constitution, Canada. We have our own way of life. And I'm not your Indian Department of Indian Affairs. I seen young men and women activists in the 70s singing this song. And I remember it woke me up. It was like an awakening, or created this hunger to be who I am, to be authentic. Because I grew up not feeling that. I guess you could say with identity confusion. Who am I? You know, and I grew up not knowing that there had been a plan to alter the Indigenous way of life. And I'm sure many today don't even know that, indigenous and non-indigenous, in this country called Canada. So I grew up, you know, on a reservation, not knowing what reservation meant, and eventually finding out that it means lands reserved for Indians. I grew up calling myself an Indian, that I'm an Indian. My first identification card said that my name was Gerald Ullman. There's a number on there. And it was an Indian status card issued to me by the Department of Immigration from Canada. How ironic is that? An original person from this land being told who he is by the Immigration Department of Canada. Shows you how messed up this picture is. So I grew up in this, you know, thinking I'm an Indian. Sometimes my mind gets blown away when I look back and I see how effective that assimilation policy was created. Assimilation means a gradual absorption of one people into another people's way of life. Gradual. And policies are plans of action. Plans of action. In indigenous life, it was a plan of action to do a cultural genocide. Culture means a way of life which includes language, food, dress code, ceremony, ritual, music, you know, how we conduct business, all of that, that's a culture. And every group in the world had a culture, had a way of life that they developed over thousands of years. So I come from a culture. We had our own language. We had our own education systems. We had our ways of developing individuals. We had ways of living in harmony with nature, with everything in nature, with our neighbors. We had a way of life. That's a culture. So when the assimilation, when I looked up the word and it said the gradual absorption, I was thinking, wow, some of this is pretty quick. Because I grew up in my community not seeing one ceremony. Not one indigenous ceremony. Not hearing music. What I seen was a church, the priest, and that ceremony on Sunday morning, the mass, that was to become my way of life. That is what we had. And I think of that plan when I heard that there was an assimilation plan of action, a policy. And the reason for it, because they were saying that the Indians were a problem. A problem, you know, that their solution was to do a cultural genocide. Remember, culture means a way of life. And genocide is made up of a Latin word and a Greek word. The Greek word is geno, means tribal. And side is a Latin word that means killer. Cultural killer. That's what the assimilation policy was meant to do. That we were uncivilized. That we're savages, pagans, heathens. I didn't know that those words were uttered, that there was that creation of an identity for us. And that the words were saying that we're going to be the same, we're going to be absorbed, we're going to be civilized, we're going to let go of the indigenous ways. And, you know, that in itself was a lie. If they wanted to assimilate us, they would have took us in every aspect of their lives, you know, governance, education, law and order, extraction resources. But no, they segregated us. They put us onto the reservation, into the residential school, into the day school. They wouldn't let us sit with their children. You know, so that's not really, in a true sense, assimilation. But there was assimilation. Because I just, you know, I've traveled across this country, Canada, and know that there are many struggling to keep their language alive, their music, their ceremony, because of that gradual absorption into this crazy, I call it the crazy new way of life. It's crazy for us. You know, and we absorbed into that culture, that way of life, and I'm sad to say that many, and that absorbed the negative aspects of this new way of life. And one of them is the consumption of alcohol. Many of our people, we never had alcohol in our culture. You must understand that, and that's why so many became addicted to this substance, this liquid, fire water. So the other part that I know is on my mind about that absorption was how we behave in public with one another. And I say some of our people absorbed that and the negative aspects of this new way, this new identity. They absorbed how the communication style. You know, I grew up and I never hear adults really holler and rage at each other in anger. I didn't see that. It wasn't part of our way of life. I tell people today, none of the elders that taught me, for instance, used foul language or swearing. That's what those ones that came, those are the words that they were uttering when they would get angry at somebody. They'd swear at them. You know, so we took on that identity. We have got absorbed. I'm not blaming anybody. You know, I was assimilated and in many ways still assimilated. That gradual absorption. Soon that's all we're speaking is English. You know, starting to eat their foods. You know, the laws and the fish and game that came in. They call it conservation. You know, I shake my head when I think of that. Because I knew when we were here by ourselves, there's no extinction. We treated food as sacred. Tsleil-Waututh people and many other nations I know, First Nations, for instance, have ceremony around food. First salmon that comes up the river, there's a first salmon ceremony. To acknowledge to the salmon, to make a confession to them that we respect them and we're thankful that they come back. So there's a ceremony to mark that. And in my imagination, I would just see the people doing that ceremony, and it would bring about this tremendous respect for the Salmon people. That we're not going to abuse you. We're not going to use you for selfish, greedy reasons. It's to keep us alive, and it's to keep us healthy. You know, the salmon's got omega-3, you know. So I think about my people for thousands of years eating wind-dried salmon during the winter, getting that oil into their body, being healthy. So that absorption, assimilation, started to have its impact when we started to break our own laws around how to treat ourselves, how to be with our family, with our community, with Mother Earth, with all the inhabitants of Mother Earth, birds, fish, animals, plants, insects, you know, everything. The impacts are here today. When we lose respect for a plant or an animal or a fish, we will start to do that with other human beings. And vice versa. When we stop respecting human beings, we will not have respect for the resources. And when that happens, the future generations are at risk. So this identity business is serious. It's critical that we start to form an identity that will promote sustainable lifestyle, which means that 7 generations from now, there's going to be sockeye salmon for my descendants, the ones coming behind me. There will be deer, there will be moose, there will be mushrooms, there will be medicines, there will be forests, clean water for my descendants. You know, this, I grew up confused, ashamed. Because I, you know, we absorb the words that come through the air. And you just imagine children hearing people saying, those are crazy Indians. They're drunken, they're stupid, they're lazy, you know. Savages, pagans, you know, Indians. You're darn right that affected my way of thinking, my attitude. I started to feel shame. At the same time, I had this hunger that was inside of me to be indigenous. Because along with the colonial message, I'd hear these stories in the side about our Shkunams, our healers, the physical strength of the people, what they could accomplish. You know, I heard that part too. I heard the stories of generosity and courage, people being reciprocal, sharing with one another, giving to one another. Thank goodness I heard those, because I could start to aspire to that. I had that hunger for that kind of sameness that we could all do indigenous music and dance together. I thought, what a feeling that would be. So I started to dream those dreams. because I started to, you know, to think of the problems and challenges in regards to identity. And I feel there are many, and it impacts our physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health. It wasn't until I was mistreated by Canadian white people that I started to know that I was not the same. And I remember my hurt and confusion because of that as a child. I couldn't understand why they would strike me and holler at me with anger for making a mistake. So today I see the characteristics that were put on us. And the word character means a sharp-edged line. And if you do a sharp-edged line on a stone, it's going to stay there for a long time. So our bodies became, there's etched lines on our body from the beatings and the shaming. It became part of our character. How we see ourselves. Because remember, this is happening to children, and I imagine as even as adult, I still feel that at times when I hear it. So growing up in Canada, it was like as if I magically picked up this identity of being an Indian. Not Statlium, being an Indian. An identity created by the Euro-Canadians. An identity that had us and our way of life being inferior. This identity was a negative one. I became ashamed. And that's not a good feeling, feeling this ashamed of my own people. My young mind started to believe that the white people were superior in every way. I didn't see how they lived. I thought they were all rich, that they're all, you know, happy that they got everything. I look back at such a silly thought, but that's all I thought. That's because I didn't see them. We were on the reservation. Shows the danger of fantasy thinking. Causes us to believe in something we know nothing about. And that's true for Canadians too. They don't know anything about our way of life, about our generosity, about our knowledge, about our love, about our compassion that we have for ourselves and each other and the planet. That was our way of life before. It's totally amazing how I internalized the racist ideology, the racist beliefs, as I grew from child to adult. I didn't have the foggiest idea that the creation of an inferior identity was a tool to weaken us and to dismantle our way of life, to oppress all the First Nations in Canada. The reason of creating this ideology or these beliefs was, of course, to gain access to the land, the water, and the resources on that land and in that water. That's what this new identity was about, to weaken us, to dismantle our way of life. You know, and that are we? I was thinking about the amount of energy. Maybe not even energy, just common sense. That we're to discourage greed. That we see greed as a sickness. That if all of a sudden somebody starts going crazy about owning, about having more than, you know, being self-centered. We see that as a problem. That person was in love with power. And we knew that because they would seemingly do anything to get it. And I believe my people saw that in the newcomers that came. That they would do anything to get that power, that land and those resources. You know, that power to have authority over other people and their lives. When I think of it that way, it must have been addictive to have that feeling that I got power over you, that you're under my power. That selfish desire to have individual wealth and power. So that's, you know, this whole identity, you know, that we, as human beings, we hunger for the sameness, that we want the same, to belong, to be part of. It's a natural, I think it's an instinct that we all have. You know, when I was growing up, you know, and I'd see people with the same hairstyle, like my older brothers, you know, with the slick down sideburns and a ducktail and a wave in front, you know. They were wanting to be the same. They wanted to belong. And I got to be a teenager. The hippies were out with long hair and patches on their jeans, and I wanted to be the same. I see that today, people walking around with holes in their jeans, they want to be the same. So we have this hunger for sameness. That's what identity is about. I see people, my people, myself included, wanting identity, wanting to be accepted. So, you know, I started drinking. Part of it was pain, of course. I wanted to feel good. Part of it was identity. Not knowing that it was a double-edged sword for me. Because I became an alcoholic, you know, as I continued drinking. My body couldn't deal with it. My mind couldn't deal with it. My spirit couldn't deal with it. It overwhelmed me. I didn't have the strength or whatever it is to deal with it. And it became a problem for me. Then my actions contributed to my identity in the eyes of others. Because actions will do that. Other people can create an identity for you, like the colonizers first said that we're devil worshippers, we're heathens, we're pagans. That's a created identity. And some of them were saying we're the noble savage. You know, we're stoic, all of those things. You know, there's many, many kinds of views coming out. So the created identity, that's dangerous because it's stopping people from being who they are, from their own identity. Then there's a identity created by actions. So I started drinking alcohol.